proceed with the agenda and take the report and possible discussion on portfolio report from BlackRock Merrill Lynch. John Hawes.
I will introduce three individuals here today from Merrill Lynch, BlackRock, Jeff Hewlett, Jeff Biggers, and Nathan Perry, and they will present the review of this last quarter of the financial performance that BlackRock has had. Whoever wants to start.
I'll just run through the performance on the two accounts, the large cap core equity account and taxable fixed income. Go to the next page. After advancing to two pages. Another one. One more. There we go. This is probably not that useful of a slide any longer now that we have the mid-cap mutual fund and the international mutual fund, because this is just showing the asset allocation between the large cap core equity account and taxable fixed income. So next time we'll probably report these individually, but at the end of May, we had 49% in equity, 49% in fixed income, roughly 2% in cash. Actually, looking at the left-hand slide of that pie chart, that's going back, shows you at the end of February when we were taking money out of this account to fund the two mutual fund accounts. That's why that cash level is so high at the end of February, and then that went in and we purchased the mid-cap fund and the international fund. And then that moved out of these accounts. So that's the picture you get at the end of May. So the total account value plus accrued income between these two accounts at the bottom, $15,811,000. Yes?
What kind of coordination have you got between, obviously we're challenged with the 60-40 and we've got the other investments. Now, how do you coordinate that information with what you have? It works out, it's about 39-61 now, is it just happenstance, but do you have coordination? Do you get information on those funds? What?
Discussion we need to have on how we get our disbursements coming out. Up until this point, we've been taking all distributions out of the large cap core equity account. And prior to February, there was one account at Wells Fargo. Then we broke it out and created two accounts, well, actually four, one for fixed income, our fixed income, one for our equity, another one for each of the two mutual funds. And to your point, you might get to the question later on, looks like we've had higher transactions. It's because we've got a smaller equity account now that we're taking money out of it to fund the two mutual funds, but we're still taking the full amount of the retirement distribution out of that one account. So if we were to just keep doing that month after month, what you're going to see is all the other three asset classes growing in allocation. So we're kind of in between. Because we had John Pickett left and went to another firm. I don't know if we're going to discuss what to do there. So ultimately, it's going to be someone in that role that is communicating to Wells Fargo that's going to tell each manager on a monthly basis what portion of that allocation or that distribution is going to be coming from each manager.
Okay.
I think maybe we'll resolve that after the meeting today.
Okay.
Next page. Top 10 holdings, this hasn't changed a lot since the last time we met. Microsoft, IBM, Chevron, Johnson & Johnson, and Conoco make up our top five. We have the asset allocation on the right. It's actually, if you go to the next page, easier to look at that in comparison to the S&P 500. Again, good exposure across all sectors of the economy. Our two largest overweights continue to be industrials and in healthcare. And the two largest underweights are in consumer staples and in financials. On the next page, we look at the fixed income portion of the account. Again, U.S. Treasuries making up 36%, agencies at 14, mortgage-backed securities at 15, and then corporate bonds at almost 34%. Our average credit quality is AA, duration 4.6, that's slightly beneath our benchmark duration. Maturing just over 6 years, and that was giving us an average yield of maturity at the end of May of 2.38. Bonds have actually rallied since this report, so that yield of maturity is a little lower today, given the fact that bonds have run up in price. And then the current yield is 4.67. Now to the last page, I'll go through in detail is the performance. We're going to report this differently in the future because that bottom area of the chart that looks like alphabet soup, that S&P 500 T/60 That was a benchmark that we were using when it was all inside this one account, but now that's not applicable because we have the international and the mid-cap managers that are on another system that I can't report on. So look at the equity number in the white line, kind of in that long rectangular chart. The last 3 months, the equities were down 1.5. Just beneath that, that's the bond portion of the account was up 1.95. And over the same period of time, the S&P was down 0.89. And the Barclays GovCorp index was up 1.69. So the bonds did a little better. The equities underperformed slightly in the quarter. And then year-to-date basis, stocks down 1.71 versus the S&P 500 total return, which was down 1.5. And then you have the fixed income, which was positive 3.93 versus this benchmark, that was 3.63. And then all of the other periods we've reported on prior. So with that, I will be happy to answer any questions.
We've had a significant underperformance the last 12 months, Jeff.
Yes. Yeah, we had that's capturing a good amount of 2009. In 08, we outperformed. 09, we drastically underperformed 2009. It was a very low-quality rally coming out of the bear market lows of 2008. So a lot of managers that had a higher quality bias to their portfolio did underperform. We fully expect to recoup that performance over the second half of this year. But that trailing 12-month number does include a period where, calendar year of 09, you can see it was 1,100 basis points in 1 year. Now, if you look at it on a five-year basis, we're positive 1.51 versus the S&P that's only positive 0.31. So on a five-year basis, it looks okay. But if you look at calendar year 09, it was clearly underperformance, and it was due to we had a higher quality bias, and it was a very low quality, high beta rally that worked that period of time. Yeah.
I'm good.
All
that question here. As you know, I have a great concern about the turnover going on.
Right.
And I look back on page 44, I think, 47, and I went through there, and we've got a tremendous amount of short-term activity. Is there a good explanation for that?
Yeah, and I might utilize Jeff on this, but just to go back in time, in February was the first time where we had to raise $5 million, so that was February. And then again, we went from a period where we were in one account to we had two accounts, and we were only getting, as you know, the assets are actually held at Wells Fargo.
Right.
And then we were getting a monthly statement from Wells Fargo and having to manually reconcile what we see on our system to what Wells Fargo had. So even at that point, once a statement's printed and shipped out, you're working with kind of old data already. So for a few months in that March, April, May period, we were working with old data, and so we were getting notification from Fred that we needed to raise cash for distribution. And then we last time we looked at the statements, we looked like we had cash, but they made a distribution. We didn't see that, so we had to go in and raise cash two more times in April and in May. In fact, we did some analysis. Jeff might speak up to. So why we had the increased turnover for that period of time?
Well, along with the increased turnover, too, is the plan's been closed. There's not as much inflow. So we have to actually go into either one of the asset allocations to produce more cash as we go. But what I did is, these were real quick numbers because I got a message on my phone this morning from John asking me to come up with these numbers. And I'd asked that, if you really want to nail it down, is have the trustee tell us what the total cost of this commission and the concern that we have there. I know the numbers are a little overwhelming, but in actuality, we did about 70,000 shares in the quarter we reported, which is March through May. So I just jumped back and said, what did we do a year ago in the same time frame? 147,000. So then I started backing off to see what that meant to us. So then I looked at December to February, the previous quarter, 227,000. Now that was when we generated the 5 million. So that all trails. So I went back to September to November, 126,000 shares of 09. And then went to June to August of 09, 76,555. So is it abnormal? No. But are we are actually having to generate more cash and have to do it through sales. and you can look at that activity. I think there's like 18 purchases, and the rest are sales. So there's not, you know, if there's any concern about churning, it's not happening. It's, we're
running about 80,000 shares a quarter, average.
Well, and I went back and said, what is this costing the plan? 471,000 shares over the past rolling 12 months comes out to about 28,000. That's all in the equity side. It's about 17 bips. You break it out proportionally, it's about 8.5 bips to the entire account. And you're doing about 45 bips on the fee side. So you're about 53, 54 bips.
Are we paying a per share cost?
6 cents a share.
Which is $5,000 a quarter, roughly.
That's correct.
Well, the thing that concerns me, I look here's 615, we bought Coca-Cola 615. We bought Capital One, we bought it 329, we sold it 511. We bought Apple on 5.3, we sold it on 5.11. We bought Eaton on 2.10, and we sold it on 5.11.
That 5.11 is the day that we had to sell everything in the portfolio.
Okay.
To raise cash.
Well, that's the reason I'm asking. I mean, is that what generated all of that activity?
Absolutely. And this won't be an issue, or it'll be a much smaller issue once we start, out of that, say it's $115,000 a month that comes out for distributions. If we allocate part of it to the mid-cap fund, part of it to the international fund, part of it to the fixed income, part of it to this, it's going to be a lot fewer transactions. It's going to be a lot smaller cash driven. So this will correct itself once we start taking distributions across all of the asset classes. Because there's just simply, we can't create enough dividend yield inside that equity portion to produce $115,000 a month. So we keep doing this.
Do y'all sell each month to meet our cash flow requirements?
In this period we actually have to, because now we have weekly reconciliation with Wells Fargo as opposed to monthly, which that monthly was way too long a period ago. So now we can see it and we know what it is on a weekly basis. Until we get this fixed on where we're going to be taking distributions, we can keep a little more cash and get it raised once. And then let's pay that out for July, August, September, maybe before we need to do trades to replenish that cash.
And can you speed up the reporting from Wells Fargo?
Well, we fixed that.
You fixed that?
Yeah.
Okay. They are actually online, so they can look at
it. Yeah, actually, we can see it daily now.
All right.
Yeah.
Does Wells Fargo have an aggregation program where the total portfolio can be looked at? 24/7, so that you can look at it and say, hey, we got X number of this, and returns are Y, and so forth.
Yeah, because I would think from a performance reporting standpoint, again, it's only good to see the assets that BlackRock's managing, you're missing in your international mid cap. So, again, this might be resolved here in 5 minutes when we have the discussion on the investment advisor, but either Wells Fargo's custodian or someone should be there to report the total picture so you can see everything. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, I make one comment, because we're going to get a real curveball thrown to us here in the near future. And it's really at the bottom line of this performance report. As the previous asset allocation, you notice the model showed 50-50. That bottom line shows a 60-35. That's what we've been tracking for about 8 years. Now, when we actually update that line, because bonds have outperformed stocks, it's going to skew that bottom line, and we're going to look like we're way out. Does that make sense?
Well, what we've done here, I don't care about this, but we have an 00 and 01 account. We created 9-9 and reported together. I don't think it's necessary to report ours together. I think that you need to see everything together. So, if he wants to come back and do this, I'll report the equities alone and the fixed income alone, and then the other two mutual funds can be reported alone, or they can all be reported together with either Pickett or Fred with Wells Fargo to see one picture. Because that benchmark's not applicable to what we're running now.
Right, and if we were to change it, we'd get really skewed numbers.
Takes sense from there, you don't manage your own assets. You got other managers. We need to incorporate that all into a new performance report. Which we did have at one point, we need to.
Okay. Any other questions? And